Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're live right now to allow you to be a part of our broadcast, to pose your question or discuss your real-life issue. So we invite your calls right now to 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, let's talk about it. Call now, 1-800-677-9377, because the Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. It's Basic Gospel, and it intersects with your life every day. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. The good news, as we say quite often here on Basic Gospel, is simply this: Jesus Christ is alive, and because He's alive, everything else changes. Our relationship with God changes. Our relationships one with another change, all hinging on the fact that Jesus Christ is alive. So the good news does intersect with our day-to-day lives, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
In powerful and simple yet profound ways. And we're talking this week about relationship builders, how we can have healthy relationships. And today we're looking at relationship builder number 5, and that is trust. If you're going to have a healthy relationship, there has to be a measure of trust or belief in that relationship. Apart from that, you just have an acquaintance.
Yeah.
It's just a business deal. You enter into it with caution, you proceed with caution, and you exit with caution. But to have a real, genuine relationship with another person, it takes a measure of trust. Mm-hmm. And that comes from all the other things that we've already talked about. Patience, kindness, protection. All of those things are important in building trust in a relationship. And that's exactly what love does. Love believes all things. It trusts all things. Well, as we are abiding in the love of God, we're going to see that trust factor starting to make itself known in relationships. But we need trust one of another. And for some, and sometimes it takes a long time to build trust, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and again, it's one of those fear-based things.
Yes.
You know, I've put it out there before, and I got burned, and now I'm not going to ever put it out there again.
Yeah.
It's because that's human to human, and that kind of thing happens. But in Jesus, He never lets us down. We learn first from Him that we can trust Him in absolutely everything, and that gives us the ability, the freedom, the safety to trust others again.
Right. And we've all been burned. We've all been
Everybody
hurt.
Has.
We've all experienced insult, injury, and rejection. That's just part of life. That's part of living in this world today. And we've been involved in hurting others. So it's not like we're just the victims. I mean, we participate. We're perpetrators as well. We're good at hurting others. Yeah. We don't necessarily mean to, but it's just part of being human. When that happens, we go into protective mode. We don't ever want to be hurt again. And yeah. So that's why trust is so difficult for us. But that can start relaxing once we abide in the love of Christ. We can see that trust factor starting to re-enter the picture as far as our relationships are one with another.
Yeah.
But if you have a question about relationships, any other thing as far as the Christian life is concerned, any questions about particular Bible passages, we would love to talk to you on today's broadcast of Basic Gospel.
That number, 1-800-677-9377, is a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada, and we have plenty of open lines and plenty of time on the clock. So that's why we're here, to address your questions live on the air to allow you to be a part of the broadcast. So give us a call, friends. 1-800-677-9377. Again, that's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 1-800-677-9377. Guys, a question from our friend Kelly in Tampa, Florida. She says, Bob, from your sermon on 1 Corinthians 11, verses 2 through 16 recently, would you say that Paul's instruction was designated to that time only, or does it apply today? She says, I can see a relation to God's covering grace to us today, but how do we move the discussion with others from the physical action of covering one's head to the spiritual action? That's from Kelly in Tampa.
Well, it's an excellent question, and boy, that's one of those passages is very difficult for us to really hone in on a solid answer and an application for it today. And I know, Richard, you've done some extensive research on that. What in the world was going on at that time that caused Paul to write such words as far as women covering their heads and men not having to, and all of that discussion?
Yeah, well, you got to remember, first of all, this was Corinth. Corinth was one of those cities.
That explains a lot.
It explains a lot. There was so much sexual paganism, just rampant in Corinthian society, that, of course, people who had come out of that society were going to bring that baggage into the brand new church. They just met Jesus, they accepted Jesus, but they got all this stuff hanging off of them. Well, one of the things that was common in the religious practices of the day was that women who were involved in these sexual cults would shave their heads. That was one of their identifying marks. Men who participated with them sometimes covered their heads in order to participate in these rituals. So for those people to come into the new, brand new churches, the house churches, and suddenly they're interacting with each other in Christ instead of in paganism, there's a lot of discomfort. And so Paul was saying, look, guys, you're not in paganism anymore. So men, come here, show your face. You women, the Lord gave you hair as covering, but some of you don't have any hair. So until your hair has grown out, cover your head so that people aren't reminded of what you used to be. You're now my sister in Christ. You're not the former prostitute. And so what he's doing is protecting the church from the baggage of paganism while people were learning how to relate to each other. And in fact, he had commended them. One of the few places, maybe the only place in Corinthians where he had commended them for following his instruction, and he was just emphasizing it again just to give them encouragement to continue on that path. And the key to it is down at the end, because he talks about the woman's hair being her covering. He's not talking about wearing a hat or wearing a doily. It's about having proper hair. And some of the women came in without proper hair, and he's just given them a chance to grow their hair back. So it's not some legalistic, horribly anti-woman situation. It is the love of God being expressed in relationship in the fledgling church. And that applies right now today, even if we don't have the same exact situations. It's very easy to translate this into how men and women treat each other in the church with mutual respect, brothers and sisters in Christ, and building each other up instead of tearing each other down.
Yes, indeed. One of the things that you see throughout church history, that whenever Christianity takes root in a culture, women are always lifted up.
Absolutely.
That's always the case. Why? Because Christianity is the only truth out there that really lays men and women on equal footing,
yes,
puts them on equal footing. That the salvation offered to man is the exact same salvation offered to a woman. And when they receive, they are both made to be children of God and can relate to one another on that basis. That's
yes.
Why it just is head and shoulders above every other philosophy that's out there,
uh-huh,
because it's the only one that treats all of humanity with the same respect.
Yes.
Good stuff, guys. Well, of course, you found Basic Gospel, and we have calls waiting on the line. So, Bob, I guess let's go to them, huh?
Well, let's do. Let's start in Long Island, New York, and talk with Wilfred. Hi, Wilfred.
Hi. Good afternoon, sir. The other day, someone asked you a question regarding if women can preach or not. But your answers were, like, if I understood correctly, there is a difference between a preacher and a pastor. And second, that's my first, I need a clarification on that. And my other question is, what is your biblical thought on John 13, where Jesus washed the disciples' feet, please?
Okay. Good questions, Wilfred. As far as the difference between a preacher and a pastor, there's a lot of people that preach. But that doesn't necessarily mean they pastor. There's something to pastoring that goes well beyond just the preaching aspect of it. So when you read in Ephesians chapter 4, for example, where Paul is saying, and he gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastor/teachers, that's a single gift, the pastor/teacher. The teaching aspect is what we really hone in on, but it's much bigger than that. And so it does talk about being involved in people's lives in a much deeper way than simply standing behind a pulpit every Sunday and giving out a message. That's a preacher. But a pastor has a much bigger role, a much broader role. And to that's where Paul gives some criteria for what an elder, an overseer, a pastor would be. And he always directs that toward men. Now, as far as John 13, I see that as one of the most beautiful passages in the Word of God. I know many people look at it and translate it as forgiveness. You know, Jesus was washing the feet of the disciples, and that was a picture of the forgiveness that he makes available. And so we need Jesus to wash our feet, to forgive us on a day-to-day basis. But that's not the context. He says there in John 13, 1 and 2, it was just before the Passover. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world. And so, having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. And so he was putting flesh and blood to something that had been said earlier, that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Well, how was Jesus going to serve us? Well, he was going to take humility to its ultimate limit, and he was going to offer himself as the once-for-all sacrifice for sin. He humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death. Well, he gave a picture of that in this particular passage. He humbled himself. He took the form of a servant. And this was the lowest form of a servant in that culture of the day, the person who washed the feet of those who came in. And Jesus said, I am going to this limit to show you the full extent of my love for you. And then the takeaway is simply this, that just as I've washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set an example that you should do as I have done for you. So when we are called out to receive the gospel message, to become children of God, then we start bearing the image of Jesus Christ himself. And just as he came to serve, not to be served, we see that attitude start developing in us. We start serving those that God brings in our path. And I think that's what this passage is all about, learning how to serve one another in love, just as Jesus Christ went to the ultimate limit of what that is in humbling himself and becoming obedient, even obedient unto death. Well, thanks.
Okay. Now, I have a little problem with the further down in some other verses. And when Peter resisted to Jesus to wash his feet, and he said to Peter, what I'm doing now, you won't be able to understand it, but you will be able to understand in the future. Now, and how is that applicable to the churches that's practicing, applying that today, washing their feet?
Well, again, that was just symbolic. It was a picture of serving one another in love. That's what the whole message is. Now, Peter nor any of the other apostles were going to understand that because the Holy Spirit had yet to be given. But once the Holy Spirit was given to the apostles, and that was on the day of Pentecost, then things started to become clear. They started putting the pieces together and started realizing, oh, that's exactly what Jesus meant. As the Holy Spirit started bringing that back to their memory, all of the pieces started to fit together. So just as Jesus served us, as we abide in him, we can start serving others in love.
Okay, did Jesus come with that symbol washing feet? Is that existed before in the Old Testament?
I think it was part of the culture of the day. I mean, folks would travel the roads, and they're wearing sandals, and dirt would get upon the feet, and so they would wash the feet as they entered into the house. That was just part of the custom. And the one who did that was the least of all servants. So Jesus was taking on that role. He was becoming a servant, showing us what that means. And just as he did that, then we're to go out and serve others. Well, Wilford, we sure appreciate your call today. Thank you. Well, let's go to Jackie in Queens, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Jackie.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well, thanks.
I have a question. I've been a Christian for 25 years, and I've heard this scripture preached over and over, to whom much is given, much is required. But, you know, what does it really mean, like, to whom much is given, much is required? We are given the Holy Spirit. We're given talents. We're given gifts of the Spirit, you know, but I kind of don't understand it.
Well, Jackie, I think it's just basically saying a response to the love of God. And, you know, Jesus gave some examples there, you know, somebody that was forgiven this much versus somebody that was forgiven this much. You know, one was forgiven a lot, the other was forgiven a little. And he's saying, who's gonna love God more? And basically the answer was the one who was forgiven the most. They're gonna see just the great extent of God's love for them. Well, as they abide in Christ, and again, that's what the Christian life is all about, Jackie. It's about abiding in Christ. And as John wrote in John 15, or as Jesus said, that, and John wrote it down, apart from him, we can do nothing. So the whole Christian life hinges upon Jesus Christ living his life through us. So if we've received the abundance of forgiveness in him, then he's going to start working the abundance of forgiveness in us to flow out into the lives of others. It's just a natural byproduct of this relationship with Christ. So there's a lot of folks, Jackie, that, for example, have a very shallow view of their sins. They don't see sin as very serious. We sometimes in our conversations one with another, well, you know, I've made mistakes. Well, mistakes are different than sins, aren't they?
Yes.
They're a little more benign. Well, if you think God's just forgiven you for a few mistakes, then you don't really know the full extent of his love for you. But if you start understanding the severity of your sin and the fact that it deserves punishment, and that punishment is death, and you see that, and the enormity of that weight rests upon your shoulders, when God comes and releases you from that in forgiveness, your heart melts in a wonderful, wonderful way, and you're attached to Jesus in a deeper sense than if you just think he's forgiven some mistakes that you've made along the way. So when we respond to the enormity of his love, we're going to see that flowing through us in that same measure. And I think that's all he's talking about there, Jackie.
Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You are so welcome. Let me do this for you, Jackie. Let me put you on hold. I want to send you a copy of this book, Love Is. It really addresses some of the very issues that you bring to the table today. So I'd love to put it in your hands. Let me put you on hold, and we'll do so, okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
And Bob and Richard, for any of our listeners who'd like to get a copy of Love Is by Bob Christopher, it's yours for a gift of any amount to the ministry. Of course, the most important thing is supporting the ministry, but as a way to say thank you for your support, we'll give you a copy of Love Is by Bob Christopher, and all you need to do to get your copy is go to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net, or you can call and speak with our operator to make your gift and request your copy of Love Is by Bob Christopher, 1-800-727-2828.
Well, thanks, Bob, and I want to make mention of our financial need right now. In March and April, we had wonderful response and support of the broadcast, and certainly appreciate everybody that gave and gave willingly during those months. In the month of May, that's kind of slowed down a little bit, and that's somewhat normal, but we need your help. We need you to stand with us this month, just like you stood with us the last month and the month before. And between now and the end of the month, we still need about $90,000. And that's sounds like a big sum of money,
but with a doable,
with a lot of people doing a little bit, that's taken care of. And what does that mean to us? Well, it means that the broadcast continues, that the good news of God's love and grace continues to connect those hurting out there to the love of Jesus Christ. So we need you to stand with us. And like I said, a gift of any amount will make a significant difference to us. So if you can help, a gift of $25, a gift of $100, or anywhere in between, or anywhere above or below, help us today.
Yeah.
Call right now, 1-800-727-2828. That's 1-800-727-2828. Talk to Billy. Tell her that you would like to make a contribution. She will walk you through that process, and you'll just be delighted all the way through. Billy's such a wonderful person to talk with. So call that number, 1-800-727-2828. Let Billy know that you want to stand with us in the month of May to continue broadcasting this good news of Jesus Christ.
You keep connecting people to the love of the Lord Jesus. That's the bottom line right
Yes,
there.
Indeed. Yeah. Yes, indeed. Well, let's go and talk with Eugene, listening to us in Brooklyn. Hi, Eugene.
Hey, how are you guys doing? Good afternoon. And my question is, I have two questions, and I'll take them off the air. So the first question is, for John baptism was a baptism of repentance. So why, when Jesus came to him, Jesus asked him to baptize him? You know, I was looking at Scripture trying to find out in the Old Testament where it was written, because Jesus said something similar to that, like to fulfill prophecy. But the second question is, in Revelation, I believe it's the Church of Jesus, says Jesus is talking about the Nicolaitans and their practices, how the people did not listen, they didn't listen to the Nicolaitans' practice. So my question is, I was trying to find out the origin of the Nicolaitans, and what I found was Nicholas from the first seven deacons. That's what I think that it started from, that he fell apart from them, but I'm not sure because I can't find it in Scripture. I found it in another document, so I just wanted you to answer those two questions for me. Thank you.
Okay, as far as the first question is concerned, as far as Jesus' baptism, the reason Jesus submitted to being baptized by John the Baptist was simply because through that baptism, John the Baptist was going to identify Jesus as the Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah. And we read that in the book of John, John chapter 1. All of that is clearly laid out right there. So John the Baptist woke up every day wondering, is today the day that I'm going to baptize the one upon whom the dove will descend and will hear the voice from heaven saying, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased? Well, that's what happened the day Jesus was baptized. And as far as Revelation is concerned and the question about the Nicolaitans, they were just a group that practiced all sorts of evil, aren't they?
Yeah. Nearest we can tell, the Bible doesn't specify that, but the nearest we can tell, it was a form of Gnosticism that was very hedonistic and anti-law and anti-Jesus and the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, Eugene, thanks for your call. We certainly appreciate it. Bob Davis, take it away.
Yes, indeed. We are out of time just about for this edition, and thanks to everybody who called. And thank you guys for some wonderful answers, as always, on the broadcast today. And we want to remind you, friends, that if what you hear each day on this broadcast, if you like that and it's beneficial to you, well, like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. And be sure to take Bob Christopher up on this offer to get a copy of his book, Love Is, for a gift of any amount to the ministry. And that's very important during this month of May. So hope to hear from you in that regard at 1-800-727-2828. Our Bible Conference, Dan 2014, is coming up June 19th through the 21st, featuring John Lynch, Andrew Farley, and our own Bob Christopher, and it's designed to help you find solid footing in a broken world. For information and registration, just visit our website that was created specially for the conference, Dan2014.com. Now for Bob Christopher and Richard Piper and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then.